One.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Diva of Days of Our Lives. I'm Lori Baker. Our guests today, Bill and Susan Seaforth Hayes, hold the honor of being the only daytime actors to grace the cover of Time magazine. As Doug and Julie Williams on Days of Our Lives, they became a super couple before the term was ever invented. In real life, they fell in love and have been married since 1974. Susan Seaforth Hayes has played the role of Julie Olson Williams since 1968. Also, she has portrayed Joanna Manning on Young the Restless and Bold and the Beautiful, as well as District Attorney Patricia Steele on Sunset Beach. Bill has played the role of Doug Williams since 1970, was nominated for Best Actor in the Daytime Emmy Awards in 1975 and 1976. Also, he has had a prolific career in theater, television, and the recording industry, including starring in the classic television show Your Show of Shows and recording the hit song The Ballad of Davy Crockett. Together, they have co-authored a joint autobiography called Like Sands Through the Hourglass, which was published in 2005. So, welcome, Bill, and his most beautiful girl in the world, Susan Seaforth Hayes. It's such
a
treat to have you both on the show today.
It's a pleasure to be asked. Thank you so much.
Well, so there's some news out that not only have you written Sands Through the Hourglass, but you just have finished completing a new book, and you're looking to get it published. Could you tell us a little bit about what your new book is about?
The new book is a fiction. It's historical fiction. I was asked to write it with my husband by our editor of our first book, the double biography, Like Sands Through the Hourglass. She felt, this lady felt, that we were natural writers and that acting should only be part-time, that what we should be doing full-time is writing. So for 4.5 years, we have done research in America and in London and in England, and we've come up with a real rip-snorter of a story. And yes, we're looking for a publisher. We have an agent in Sarasota, Florida, and we are ready to roll with it. It's a fascinating story based on the English Regency period, and it's about the theater, and I think I don't want to give too much away about it.
Mm-hmm. Was the English Regency period sort of a time in history that really fascinated both of you? Or?
It's a fascinating time. It really is. Our story starts in 1803 and goes to 1821. The real Regency period was 1811 to 1820, because that's when George, Prince of Wales, was the King Regent, when his father, King George III, was declared insane. And so
it's a story about the theater. It's a story about lots of the real historical characters. It's the period of the Napoleonic Wars. It's romantic. It's sexy. It's
it was a kind of a licentious time.
It was an amazing time an amazing time in the theater, because the parallels of what we're seeing in our own age are there. A sense that real art is finished. All we're interested in is spectacle. As we plunged in this period, we were amazed to discover the parallels, and also the parallels with celebrity. So it's about all of those things.
I see. Yeah. Have either of you ever written fiction before?
No. Well, we've both done some writing all through our lives. Never have tackled doing such a novel, but
finishing it is an accomplishment, I know that.
It really was fun, and our first draft is finished. We look forward to finding a publisher and working with your editor to clean up the fine points. And
yes, we've done writing before.
Yeah,
as a team. We've done writing in magazines. There was a time when we had a column in Soap Opera Digest, and I also wrote for Soap Opera Update for a couple of years. So I can't say it was fiction, I did what you're doing, Laurie. I interviewed people that I knew and liked from Days of Our Lives.
Oh, okay.
And we would go out to lunch, and I'd take pictures and send in the copy, and then I'd get to see it in print, which was wonderful fun.
Well, that sounds, I can't wait to read this book. And so as I understand it correctly, you're going to be doing it separately, like he said, she said, in the fiction?
No, no.
Oh, well, you're going to be working together.
Memoir was done, he said, she said, but
yes.
in this instance, it's one voice.
It's a pure narrative.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to reading it very much. With Sands of the Hourglass, I'm just wondering, since you would write it in different sections throughout the book, did you ever get together and compare notes and say, wow, I didn't know that about you, or I can't believe you said that, or anything?
That's exactly. You know, after more than 30 years of marriage, you think you know the person. But I think the writing of the book, I learned a lot about my husband, and I don't know if he learned anything new about me, but I learned a lot about him, and I would recommend for any marriage that's having, that wants to go forward and become more intimate, that you work together on a work of art, or a narrative of things that are happening to you, or a journal. It's very insightful to clear your thoughts and set them down and then look at them.
And what you said is exactly what happened. We gave ourselves, or were given, a 5-month
deadline
time to write the book. So we really, I took a yellow pad and went in one room, and Susan took a yellow pad and went in another room. That's before we could work on computers. And we would write. At the end of the day, we would really compare and show the other one what we had written, and often it was a case of, oh, that's how you saw that's what happened. Oh, well, I saw it this way. It was an interesting time.
And there were a few moments when we said, gee, and I have to say I've matured enough that I finally gave Bill the last word. Okay, honey, if that's the way you remember, that's probably the way it did happen. So, okay, sweetheart.
But he said, we tried first to figure out, should we do it in one voice? No. Should we have a ghostwriter? No.
Definitely.
Should we have a co-author? No, we decided to do it ourselves. And so he said, she said, this worked out great, because sometimes we're writing about the same thing and giving our different opinions or different sides of it. I loved it.
Sometimes you told some pretty candid stories about, you know, different people you worked with, cast members or anything. Did you ever get any feedback about some of the things you wrote, or, you know, positive?
No. The best feedback we had was from Deidre Hall. Deidre Hall went through it and put little stick-ups all the way through it, most of which were all emotional and wonderful responses to what she was reading. She was enthusiastic and as candid in her critique as we were in the book. And, for example, saying, Susan, don't call yourself fat, which I appreciated. It was also read by Ken Corday in advance of being published, and his only request was that we put in a few more things about his mother, Betty Corday, the founder of Days of Our Lives, one of the original producers of Days of Our Lives, which we were happy to do. And we supported the book that Ken has written, which is his life story, as it was affected by Days of Our Lives, being the son of the creators of Days of Our Lives and then inheriting the show, whether he wanted to or not. And we just finished reading his book and enjoyed it very, very much. And we're probably the only people in America that understand how much work went into his putting that down, putting it together. He worked on it for a couple of years, too. We, like all the original cast, like all of the present cast, are all mentioned in the book, and very flatteringly. It's really a Valentine to the show. But ours is a little bit different. It's a little bit, I don't know, more day-to-day. It's It's more of what the experience is of working on something, on a project for 40 years.
To me, our book is a love story. I really believe that. It is a love of relationship. It is a love of craft. It is a love of the genre of soap opera. It's a love story.
How do you go about getting it, Bill? How do you go about getting a copy of this?
Well, you go to BillAndSusanHayes.com, that's all.
And there's all the information you need. And if anybody would like a copy, we'll ship it out.
I'm glad you said that, because I was going to give a shout-out, but I was going to give it to BillHayes.net, so make sure you follow Bill's address there. I was going to give
the
wrong address. That's right,
BillAndSusanHayes.com.
Okay. Well, you know, what I also loved about your book were the little facts that I hadn't heard anywhere else, like Bill, when Doug was, in the early days when Doug was, you know, a swinger in the nightclubs and such, that
yes.
one of his young ladies was a very young Farrah Fawcett, and I had no
yes.
idea Farrah Fawcett had ever been on Days.
Yes, one of her first jobs was, she was a gorgeous young blonde with a lot of hair. She was wonderful.
And we get a good perspective also not only of your work together on the show, but your work before you ever met each other in different areas,
right.
your work
well,
on Broadway.
Started,
and, yeah.
We both started in show business around the same time. I was 4 years old, and Bill was old enough to have his wits about him.
I was 22.
But we learned a lot about, yeah, your Broadway career, and then Susan.
Right.
I had no idea you worked with Loretta Young and Billy Burke and had been in showbiz, you know, at such a young age.
Yeah, four is early. it was a kind of a golden age of television, and I also did theater all around the country and some feature films. It was a terrific career, I realize now, but it never seemed complete because I never had a contract. Everything was a day job, a day job, a day job. And when I was finally offered a contract on Days of Our Lives, I felt that I had achieved something. I was sorry I achieved it so late, but I was happy to have achieved it at all.
Oh, you were very old when that happened, right?
I'm amazed that the show has lasted. You know, the pink slip is that we have lasted on the show. The pink slip is a part of life in show business. There's no open-ended job. Everything closes. Everything completes, but not with a soap opera, which just soldiers on. And I believe Days is, Laurie, is it in its 44th year this year or 45th?
I think it's 45.
I think it's 45.
Yeah.
I think we're going to celebrate. We're going to have a birthday party for the show again this year.
Well, they should. 45 years, that's just incredible. It's been what a feat. All those writers, all those actors, all those different producers and it's still running, it's still a cohesive story. It's amazing.
And still beloved, I think.
Yeah.
At least we love it.
Oh, yes, I think, you know, there's still plenty of people that love it. It has its ups and its downs, but, yes, it definitely has a staying power. Well, I already have a few callers waiting in line
okay.
to talk to you, so let me bring someone on the line. Hold on.
Love to.
814 area code, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, Bill. Hi, Susan.
Hello.
Hi, this is Mary Ann.
Hi, Mary Ann. What can we do for you today?
Oh, well, first of all, I want to say what a pleasure to be able to talk to you. And it is 45 years, 1965. I started watching Days in 1967, so I've been watching it forever. And,
yeah.
and not one minute was wasted.
No, it wasn't. And I love Doug and Julie, the whole storyline, the whole super couple, and they don't do couples like that anymore, like you
no,
do. And every time you come on the and every time you both come on the show, it's like a breath of fresh air. I'm always anxious to see you two. Yeah.
Thank you. Well, we do have some shows coming up, June 8th, 16th, 23rd, 24th, 25th. Particularly, I think you'll particularly like June 8th. It's a very touching show. I get to do some nice stuff with Suzanne Rogers, who plays Maggie, and
okay.
I think you'll enjoy it.
Oh, I know I will. So a quick question for you.
Yes.
I was just wondering, this could be for both of you, how do you think you're like your character, and how do you think you're different?
Take it away, Bill.
Well, Doug and I are close. He makes some decisions that Bill would not make, but he is musical. I've had a musical life and a musical career that dovetailed very nicely. I think the most fun, perhaps, that we both had was when we had Doug's Place, and the writers were able to write a couple of songs in every week. There were 2 years when I sang 50 songs a year. It was amazing. Maybe 100 songs in the year. And I loved what they did about writing them in, not just for entertainment, but involved in whatever particular storyline was involved, whether it was Neil Curtis or it was Don Craig or you know, it was wonderful. Well, how are we different and how are we the same? I would say Doug and Bill both love Christian/Hope. She's like my daughter, and I know she's the apple of Doug's eye.
Bill has 5 children in real life, so he's used to being a parent.
Of course, another parallel is that I have the most beautiful girl in the world at home and in the story. It's wonderful. How could I not be happy?
Okay, well, thank you.
That's pretty good. I think he's very accurate there.
Okay.
Also,
okay, thank you. Go ahead.
Doug is sexy and beautiful, and so is Bill. And as for Julie and Susan, I think Julie often says perhaps more than she should, and Susan certainly does. She's
okay,
guilty of that
you.
All the time.
Okay. And I enjoyed your book. I have it, and I'll probably get your new one because it sounds really great. So.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Bye, Marianne.
Thank you. Bye.
Mm-hmm, bye-bye.
So I have a quick follow-up question. Bill, when you would be given songs to sing on the show, did you have any input as to which songs you would sing, or was that all up to Days of Our Lives to do that?
Almost never. I almost never had input. The writers were wonderful about deciding what song, the lyrics, would fit the situation. And the only problem was that it generally was 2 days before we taped it. And so suddenly I would have to go find a copy of the song and learn it quickly and decide.
And make an arrangement.
Make an arrangement of it for the pianist and decide how it should be done so it also would fit the script.
Bill has his master's in musical performance, so he can write his own arrangement pretty easily. Right after Bill started singing, all the other shows wanted to have music, and some of their actors thought they could sing, but most of them were not musical enough to do a really tremendous job.
I'm sorry that we can't do songs now. We used to do a song, and the license would cost the show about $300 to do a song. Now it's like $20,000. It's just so far out of possibility that we can rarely do a song.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wonder if it would cost. I remember a few episodes back, well, a few years ago, you sang a song, I think it was just a cappella, no music or anything, and you could just sing it. Would that cost them anything, the rights to the song?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it depends on when the song was composed. If it's in the public domain, it costs them nothing. But if it's still under the publisher's copyright period, then whether you sing it a cappella or if it's accompanied, either one, you still have to pay for it.
Yeah. It is sad because, I loved Doug's Place and Gloria Loring singing and you singing and all the wonderful singers over the years that have been on Days. And
Hattie Weaver. She was wonderful.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Robert Clary was wonderful.
Absolutely. Well, I have another caller. Area code 111, you're on the air.
Hello, area code 111.
You there? Okay, maybe they'll come back. Let's see. Area code 540, you're on the air.
Yes.
Hello, it's a male voice, a gentleman.
Yay.
Yes. My question is for Doug, Susan and Bill. I want to know if you each or you ever both had a story with Calliope and Eugene from the 80s, because I was a kid and I watched it back then, and they were my favorites.
Calliope and Eugene.
Weren't they great?
they were
adorable.
Really
funny. They were funny. They were adorable. I can't say we ever had a storyline with them. We were all in it together in many situations, but we never had a storyline together. Have you seen John DeLancey lately, the actor who played Eugene?
I know that he's on Star Trek, but I never was a Star Trek fan, but I have seen clips of it.
Yes, we just saw him on the tail end of a show recently. Gosh, I'm trying to remember what it was. We just saw it the other night. There's John DeLancey. He's a wonderful actor.
And I've heard that Arlene Sorkin might be coming back on Days.
She actually did come back. She is something. Yeah, she did her episodes, just a short run with Leanne Hunley, Calliope and Anna for a few episodes, and I believe she's gone now. She was fun when she was there.
She's gone for good now? They're not going to, that's just the end of that, or?
Don't know.
As far as I know, there's always a possibility maybe she'll come back, but at the moment we haven't heard anything else.
Last they had showed her, she was in handcuffs, and I was...
I don't like it.
Did they understand if they arrested her, or did she get out of the tax deal? Or what was that?
That's just a mystery. I don't know what they're planning on doing.
I'm appreciating the fact that the writers right now are bringing back rich older characters rich in history, for guest shots. I think it's making the show much more fun and surprising to follow. You never know who's going to turn up right now, and it's very exciting for the viewers that have been faithful.
One more quick question.
Yes, sir.
When the funeral, the Alice's funeral, does Doug and Julie have a lot of scenes with the other characters, like Laura Horton and all the ones that are coming back, Christy Clark? And
I think you will be you'll be pleased with everything in that period, really from the 8th. Through the 25th, through the 27th, you're going to see a lot of shows with a lot of new old faces. And, yes, there'll be plenty of scenes, and there'll be plenty of wonderful flashbacks, too.
Oh, yeah.
Terrific flashbacks. I have one on the 24th and 25th where scenes that I have never seen that go back to 68.
Yeah,
I'm kind
of
horrified.
A lot of good clips. Yeah.
Excuse me?
A lot of good clips from years back.
A lot of great clips.
From
the early days. Everybody's experiences with Frances Reed, with Alice Horton. It's going to be wonderful.
There's one where Doug and Alice are together that's from 1974. It's wonderful. I look forward to seeing it. When we taped the show, we didn't
get to see the clips.
So we're looking forward to seeing that episode on the air also.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that'll be interesting to see then. Well, I have to be getting off here, but it's an honor to talk to both of you.
Oh, bless you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling in.
You're welcome.
So, I just saw the June promo this morning that showed a few clips of just a few little snippets of what was going to happen with the Alice Horton funeral, and I was already starting to tear up. I think I'm going to be a mess when the actual episodes air.
You will.
As actors, was it really difficult to play those scenes when, you know, you worked with Frances Reed for so many years, and it was not
difficult because she was so loved. It was not difficult. It was a pleasure to have the opportunity to talk about loving her. And everybody stayed in character. Everybody was in it. Everybody was very respectful during the time that it was being photographed. It was a serene and loving atmosphere.
Well, let's face it, she was just a genius actress and a lovely person. She was, you know, there was an awful lot of Frances Reed in that character of Alice. She is sorely missed.
Yes. But she also seemed, there was a lot of Frances Reed in the character, but also you could also see the contrast. Like in your book, you said she had an air that was like Katharine Hepburn, and she smoked a cigarette. And,
that's right. Yeah.
And I've seen the blooper clips where she will curse like a sailor if she forgot her
that's
line.
Right.
Oh, yes. Oh, you bet. She was a real person, and she had no children of her own. But certainly had the impression that everybody was her child. So she gave advice to everyone, solicited and unsolicited. She was a strong, smart lady.
Do you have any favorite memories of her you'd want to share, like any favorite scenes you worked on together? Or?
Well, one of my favorite things about Frances was that she never stopped learning. And when I first was coming on the show, she was taking anthropology courses at UCLA. She lived near UCLA at that time, and she'd come in with remarks about, well, tonight they had us studying coprolites. Do you know what a coprolite is? No. Well, what is a coprolite? A coprolite is petrified shit. It is, Frances? Yes, that's how they can tell what everybody had for dinner. Isn't that wonderful? And she made all these trips around the world to near and far under difficult conditions, and we wound up being close friends with the ladies that she had traveled with. And it was part of her adventurous spirit that led to her having an incapacitating stroke in I believe, South Africa. She came home from that and recovered from that and worked after that. But she was just dauntless, you know. She was not content to sit home and collect antiques and pontificate. She was out there in the world, which was so attractive. It was just wonderful to be around her and to have her be the mainstay of the very mainstay of the show. What was the show about? Well, it was about good people doing exciting things.
Her funniest time to me, of course, was playing Groucho.
Ah, yes.
In the Marx Brothers sketch, she was just so delightful.
I hope someday. I wonder if that will be one of the clips that they'll show. I was pretty young when those episodes were on, and I would love to get a chance to really see them again someday. And
I believe they do have one clip
of her
playing Groucho.
Oh, wonderful.
If it made it through the editing process, yes.
Oh, great. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Well, while we're on the subject, I just want to mention to our listeners that Bill and Susan are going to be at the Frances Reed Charity Brunch on June 6th. To find out more information about that, you can go to their website at www.wix.com. Which is wix.com/charity10/Frances. So you can check that out and say hello to Bill and Susan while you're there. Okay, I have another caller on the line. One moment. 509 area code, you're on the air.
Hi, Bill. Hi, Susan. This is Karen.
Hi, Karen.
Hello.
Nice to talk with you.
I don't think I've ever spoken with you, Susan, but I have met Bill.
Oh,
where was
that?
You guys are wonderful. It was an event. Gosh, when was that? Do you remember, Bill, or not?
When I'm not sure.
Salem, Illinois. Sarasota.
Oh, it was in Agoura Hills, I believe.
Agoura
in California.
Oh. I'm not sure when that was. In the 90s?
In the 90s or this century?
It was in the 90s, I believe.
Yes, right.
Some time ago, Susan, you got sick and had to leave.
Well, I'm sorry.
Oh,
I feel much better now.
Yes.
I feel a lot better today.
You're recovered.
And by the way, Bill, happy birthday.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's tomorrow.
Yes, it is. Are you going to have a party?
Oh, yes. I'm going to have a blast.
Good.
Yeah, we're going out with the family and enjoying the fact that we're all together. It'll be grand.
Great. We'll have to put that on the website then.
Okay.
Okay, I'll tell Wanda and we'll all have a great time reading about it.
You mean this is that Karen?
Our Karen. Yes,
well,
your
hello.
Karen.
Karen of Forever Doug and Julie.
All right.
Yay.
I didn't realize that.
Well, I know we've never spoken on the phone. Kind of changes your voice a bit, but.
Yes. Well, how's your
choir? It's Rain. Our choir is awful.
Oh.
I had 3 people show up for choir practice this week.
Oh, I know how that is.
Not good. Not good. Well, what do you guys do for relaxation?
Oh,
we love to travel. Love to plan a trip.
Extensive trips. We have an extensive coming up. We have extremely ambitious, extensive trip coming up this summer. And,
you do?
We do. We have travel books all over the dining room table right now.
Yes. We're going to drive through Central Germany.
Central Germany and then go up to Berlin.
Then we're going to go to Copenhagen and be on a cruise in the
Baltic.
Catch
a boat.
Great.
And travel with our grandchildren.
Won't that be fun?
Yeah, we'll be with 4 of our grandchildren who are, I might add, adults and parents.
Yes, well, so are mine.
And then when we return from the cruise, we're going down to London and then directly to Michigan for another family and friend reunion. It's going to be try to pack for that.
Oh, no.
That's
kidding.
Yeah.
I remember when we went to England in June and I thought it was going to be summer. Huh.
No,
froze to death.
Absolutely wrong. The first time I went to England, I was in a period where I was trying to catch Bill's eye, and because Bill had invited me along, and everything, again, it was July in England, and everything I brought was yellow. Those were the times when I would buy one color at a time, green, dating an Irishman, red, and this time it was baby chick yellow. Well, I looked like a rat. I looked like a chicken indeed. Everybody's in their raincoat, you know, and their wellies, and here I am, a little bouquet of mustard seed. It was not a good choice.
I brought one sweater. The thing got wet. I hung it up in the bus, the tour bus, and it got longer and longer. Oh, but it was fun.
We also enjoy going to the opera.
We enjoy going to the opera. We read a lot. We see a lot of film. And I garden a lot.
Oh, our roses are beautiful.
And
Susan does them all.
And Bill is heavy into genealogy, so he's always doing some kind of historical research. So,
well, I wish I could get into that a little more. My mom was into it, and we got things traced back to Germany and Scotland, and that's about as far as it went. And I would like to do it further, but I just don't know how to do that. So I'll have to get on Ancestry.com, I guess.
Yeah, get on Ancestry.com. Bill has become quite the expert.
Oh, well, I'll ask him questions. I mean, he helped us so much on singing Ave Maria. This was a few years ago for Christmas, and I gave him credit to our congregation. They thought that was wonderful that you would care enough to do that.
Well, thank you.
Well, I'm sure they were grateful for the good result that he must have gotten.
Well, it really was good. I was surprised, to be honest, although I had some different people at that time with really great voices and weren't afraid to sing, you know.
Sing out, yeah.
So,
sing out, Louise.
Well,
I don't want to take up all your time.
Don't you like the
sure
way things are going on Days of Our Lives right now? The writing for it is about real people problems.
And real events.
Yes, much, much better than fantasy.
Yes, I enjoy this a lot more.
Yeah. Fantasy wears a little thin, and we have a producer now that says, from now on, if somebody dies, they're dead. They're dead forever. They're not coming back in another half.
Well, I'm glad, exactly. Well, I'm glad that they didn't think that when Doug died. I'm glad they brought him back.
Oh, but we really did believe he was gone, and it was a low period, I got to tell you.
Oh, that was a hard time.
I have a question about that, actually, that I wanted to ask. But it was a terrible time. I hated watching that storyline as well, and I was crying right along with Hope and Julie when Doug was killed off.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Right.
And I was
then when his specter came back and told her goodbye, I just lost
it. Oh, yeah. That was very moving and very sad, and just I hated that story. I hated that whole serial killer storyline thing. And what I was wondering is, you know, well, in Ken Corday's book, he says that it was always Jim Riley's plan to bring those characters back. But I've also heard that NBC said, look, you can't kill off Doug and Alice and all these characters, and you have to change the story. Do you know, or can you tell us what the true story is about that? You don't know?
I do not know.
I don't know.
I believe it was planned that way from the start. That's my guess.
Jim Riley had some amazing ideas. At one point, he was going to have, I believe, Tony DiMera having meetings with Osama bin Laden.
Oh, my God.
I'm not kidding.
Oh, my gosh.
And he was stopped from that.
Oh, I think that was good.
Yeah, the idea that Americans are dying and the soap opera is making a sport of world events, it's one thing to be in step with the times. But
yes.
I think that was a bridge too far, and fortunately we didn't get on it. But his imagination was...
He was an interesting guy, and you picked out the one scene that is one of my all-time favorite scenes.
Yes.
That scene where Doug came out of a light in the chapel and had a short goodbye scene with the actual Julie...
At the moment of his passing, at the moment of his transition.
That was just fabulous. I mean, that's something that we would all, anyone in our family who's died, we wanted to say, wait a minute, I have a few things I want to say.
And
he put all that into that scene, and I thought it was a beautiful scene. I know it was
almost impossible. Talk about what's the hardest scene you've ever had to do? That was it. And
would have to be. There he is in the casket, and I mean,
I know.
He looked dead.
Yeah, he did, and he worked hard at looking dead. Bill was the one person who would say, "How long is this scene? Because I'm going to hold my breath."
Yeah.
And he wasn't breathing in the casket. Also, it was a tight fit. Somehow, somebody had ordered a juvenile-sized casket, so he was really squeezed into it.
Oh, no.
So it was a mighty endeavor on his part.
Oh, wow. Well, Karen, we have about one or two other people waiting in line. So,
okay, great.
Well, Karen, thanks.
Wonderful to talk to you.
Thanks for supporting us through the years, and fans like you are treasured and loved. Thank you, my dear.
Well, thank you so much, and it's been a labor of love, I can tell you. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
718 area code, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Matthew.
Hi, Matthew.
Hi.
How are you?
I have.
Well, we're healthy and full of beans today.
Say again?
Healthy and full of beans.
Excellent. Excellent.
We've got four episodes
to
take next.
I wanted to ask you.
Yes.
But you inspired another question during the course of this interview. What is your favorite opera?
My favorite opera?
Yes.
Let's see.
The opera.
Probably Manon.
The Matinee or the Puccini?
The Matinee.
Excellent.
And second would be Tosca.
Ah.
And third would be Handel's Julius Caesar, Giulio Cesare.
Excellent.
Now, maybe
Bill,
that
do you agree
might
or do you have different favorites?
Bohème. Puccini's Bohème. Mm-hmm. I love the old ones. There's so many. La Nozze di Figaro.
And La Nozze di Figaro is probably first.
Pagliacci, Cavalleria Rusticana,
yeah.
Carmen.
I was just gonna say,
so many good ones.
Pagliacci, and I always think of Cavalleria, which deserves more press than it ever gets.
Than it ever gets, yes.
It's wonderful opera.
Although it certainly made Godfather III important.
Right?
That's true. It was about the most.
It certainly put
Godfather
a finish III. On Godfather III.
This is true. Now, you mentioned Figaro, and of course, there's that wonderful picture in your book of Bill as Salieri in Amadeus.
Yes. Yes.
That kind of brings me to the question that I originally wanted to ask, because in your book, you know, you talk about how before you started working on soaps, you shared that sort of popular snobbery about soaps, you know,
that
certain grade of acting or writing was called soap opera acting or soap opera writing, and then you got involved and discovered everyone has these great backgrounds and you've played these great parts and whatnot. And so my question, I guess, that the way I want to ask is just how'd that happen? You know, why do we have this tremendous snobbery out there, and what can we do about it?
Oh,
you know,
why
are soaps looked at the way they're looked at, and how can we fix it?
Wow.
I just hope
this is
that,
question
I hope
soaps?
That,
that's a
yeah.
good question.
I hope that soaps continue so there is a chance to fix it. I think any continuing story that goes on season after season gets scrutinized, and there is always an attempt to say, well, you're doing the same thing you did to the year before and the year before that. Nothing's changing, nothing's growing, nothing's fresh. But in fact, in soap, it better be fresh.
I would say if the writing is good, people will finally figure it out, just as I did, that it is bona fide, dramatic story writing. Susan and I just watched last night a couple episodes of Men
of a Certain Age.
It's a new series.
Ray Romano's new series.
Ray Romano, and the writing is very real, very like the best soap acting and soap writing you could imagine. It's very real, personal problems, intimate things that they're thinking and saying. And I think if our writing could be that good, people would never again say soap acting or soap writing is bad.
Gotcha.
I'll certainly have
to check out that show. I knew of it, but I hadn't seen it.
Do yourself a favor.
Yeah, we
I
hadn't seen it
I will take your recommendation.
Yeah.
We have, in soaps now, as you know, so much commercial interruption that the writing is based on very quick cuts to establish a crisis and then bring you to another crisis that's enough of a high point to hold you through the commercial. And that's a difficult format to write. You know, everything has to be so important that it tends to be in a high key. Do you know what I mean by?
Yeah, the heightened reality of drama.
A heightened reality.
Yes.
Which also is part of the bad rep that soap has had. That it's
gotcha.
Oh, it's all too much, and it's all too much like an opera. It's too musical. It's too filled with emotion. But emotion is what people want to remember, and what they do remember. Those scenes that were just described by the ladies whose calls preceded you. The passing of the of a beloved character, a beloved family.
They're all heightened too. They're all big stuff happening.
It's big stuff happening, and it takes a long road to get to that big stuff. If it's
sure.
If it's worthwhile, it has to mirror real life. So it takes a while to get committed to the characters, you know.
I gotcha. Yeah, wasn't it? Didn't Alfred Hitchcock say, you know, drama is life with the dull bits cut out?
Yes, exactly.
Of
course
like
it
that.
Is.
It's not exactly that quote. It's close. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm not going to hog your time anymore.
Well,
I
love your question.
I heard them say that there was a few more people on the line, but thank you so much.
Thank you, Matthew.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, actually, at the moment, we had a caller, but I think they got tired or let go.
The caller, had to get a sandwich.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. But yeah, I understand that it's very difficult with soap acting because, as Bill was saying in his book, you have to learn these lines, day by day, and you'd have, Ed Mallory and Susan Flannery who would look at the script and know it, the day of, and, for others, you're having to study it, and it's just to learn lines so quickly and not know where the story's going to go and such. It has to be, I would think, more difficult than acting in other mediums.
It's even a more of a challenge today. When Susan and I started on the show, it was a half-hour show. We first got together and read through the script the day before the taping. We had time to talk about the lines, time the scenes that we were reading through, and then block the scenes and run through them. And then on the day of the taping, we rehearsed it many times. It was a long process that we went through before we got to the actual taping. People, harking back to Matthew's question, people had time to learn the script during those rehearsals. Now, the dollar has said, we don't have time to do that. We can't meet the day before. We can't meet the morning of. We have to come in and tape right now. We have to dispense.
So everyone assembles a couple of minutes before the scene is recorded.
And
a couple of minutes.
Yes, and we say, Julie, you're there, and Doug, you're there. And this is your set, and now the cameras will be here, here, and here, and let's start. It's quite a challenging feat.
So everyone is required to, A, know their lines, two, know their character, have rehearsed someplace with somebody before they get there.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lady whose job is to coach us on the lines, and she's running around all day long. From room to room, from scene to scene, from actor to actor, getting them up on their line so there's no burbling when we get to the critical taping moment.
And it's a huge tribute to those actors who are playing in every show, who are acting in every show. When do they have a moment to learn the lines?
And to relax. There just isn't any.
Intense concentration to, like, if Bo and Hope are in every day, every show, every day for maybe a few weeks, that's like running a marathon. It's intense.
And they are more than adept. They are,
they're one, so good.
Oh, yes.
Outstanding. And they look at these scenes the minute that they receive them from the studio and analyze them and try to polish them. They're very committed actors and very committed to getting it right. And they do. I love them both dearly.
Uh-huh. Oh, they're wonderful. Okay, we have another caller. Hold on one moment. 425 area code, you're on the air.
Hello. Mr. and Mrs. Hayes? Can you
hello?
Hear me?
Yes,
hello,
I can.
This is Dama from Seattle.
Well,
hi, Dama. How are you doing?
Dama.
I'm doing good. How are you? It's so great to hear your voices.
Is the sun shining in Seattle today?
Well, it's shining because I'm here in Los Angeles. I'm talking to you in L.A.
It certainly is shining.
Yes, it is, but it hasn't been shining. No, it's been raining an awful lot, so I'm really glad to be here, and I'm looking forward to seeing you guys on Sunday.
Hope so.
Thank you.
I've been enjoying listening to the interview. It's just I'm so glad that you guys were able to do this, and, gosh, I just
Laurie, this is Dama, who has been a viewer of the show for many, many years.
And is an enthusiastic fan. She writes to all the cast and sends presents to all the cast. She is devoted, and we really appreciate her support.
Yes.
Well, that's great, Dama.
Yeah, well, you know, you guys are just wonderful, and I'm so glad that you still get to be on the show, and I just really enjoy watching your performances, and I'm looking forward to all the upcoming episodes in the next few weeks.
And in the next couple of weeks, we're taping 6 more episodes, so we're happy about that.
Yeah. Well, I just hope that this continues, because I hope we get to see Doug and Julie in Salem for a long time, as long as the show is still on air. So,
well, I've appreciated being referred to and thought of and remembered as Hope's stepmother sister, and I'm delighted that we now have writers who believe that even adults turn to their parents and need their parents in time of crisis. I can't tell you how many times people have come up to us as Doug and Julie and said, you know, Hope really needs you guys. Where are you? Your daughter's in a lot of trouble. Do you know that? And we were not in, you know, if we were not included in the latest tragedy, that always made me feel kind of sad. So I'm very happy to be at NBC and be part of it, of Days of Our Lives still.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Is there any kind of storyline that you guys haven't been able to do that you would like to see Doug and Julie involved in on the show?
Anything they come up with is fine with me. I am interested in several of the people who are family members and several of the people who are just interesting characters that our paths haven't crossed in a long time. I would be happy to cross swords with Vivian.
Those would be some good scenes, Julie and Vivian going at it.
Yeah, and I'm very happy. I was very happy to see Judy Evans back. Of course, when I got to work with her, she was another person entirely.
Mm-hmm.
But anytime you get to work with Judy Evans in any character that she's playing, it's a great day to be at the studio. So I'm, and of course Missy Reeves. I would be delighted to see more of Jennifer Horton and Shane Donovan. I loved his character and would love to see Doug and Julie working for Shane and the ISA, whatever the ISA is.
That's a good one.
I don't think they ever figured that out.
Yes. You can't, nobody can tell me.
Well, I know what it is, but I'm not telling.
Okay. It's, after all, it's a secret organization, right?
It's a secret organization.
Okay. Well, Dama, you have any other questions? Or?
I was wondering, too, if you guys are planning on doing an album together someday, a CD, a music CD. I think I've asked you before in some of my letters, and I think, Mr. Hayes, you actually said that you thought about it, but no, that I was just wondering if that's come up again and if you guys are tossing that idea around.
We have not made plans for that. It's a good idea.
No,
yeah,
but we're going
I
to
think
be
it is.
We are going to be appearing together at the Memphis Fair, right, Billy?
Delta Fair.
The Delta Fair in Memphis on
September.
In September. We just booked that, so we'll be doing a book signing and a personal appearance and some singing at the Delta Fair. So
master's class.
And a master's class in acting. So we're looking forward to for doing a little music together there.
And
Wow, that's great.
Talking about where we're going, on the 22nd of June this month, we will be helping the West Virginia Public Theater do its grand opening of their new theater. They've, for 25 years, been working in other theaters and finally have built their own, and their opening, their grand opening was with Hairspray, the musical, and we're going to be there and part of that. Of that grand opening. It's
part of that celebration.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, we've worked at the West Virginia Public Theater for 25 years and enjoyed it and supported it, and we're very, very happy to see them finally have their own theater facility. They've been operating out of the University of West Virginia for many years. And it's through the University of West Virginia that Bill earned his doctorate. So West Virginia is very dear to us.
Yep.
And that's the date again, Billy, is June 22nd?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Tuesday night, June 22nd.
Yeah.
Morgantown, West Virginia.
Morgantown, West Virginia.
Well, that's exciting. You guys are
yeah.
That sounds great.
Yeah, uh-huh. We get around.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get around.
Okay, well, thank you, Dama.
Thank you, Dama.
You're welcome. I'll see you on Sunday. Thank you very much.
Okay.
It's great to hear your voices.
Thank you.
Okay, we have 3 minutes left, and one other person I'm going to try to squeeze on here to talk to you. Vonda Kay, you're on the air.
Oh, yes.
Oh, good.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, Vonda.
Hey, Julie.
Hey, babe. How are you?
Great. How are y'all doing? Are you excited about your weekend coming up?
Excited about the weekend. Excited about Billy's birthday.
I know.
And
that's
excited
excellent.
About doing 6 more episodes.
That's the best.
Yes, the next couple of weeks we're going to be doing some goodies.
We're going to be busy.
It's going to be fun.
I know. But we've got it posted on the website, which is always Doug and Julie, and we hope everybody will come check it out because you are always so great about giving us the latest news.
What's the name of the website?
Always
Doug and Julie.
Just
it's
into
a fabulous
it.
Website. It's like
yes,
anything
it
you ever want to know about you guys is on there.
It's the best.
Yes, yes. It's pretty nice. And if anybody wants a book, of course, they still have to come to BillandSusanHayes.com. Right, Billy?
That's it.
And Vonda,
well,
are the flowers in bloom in Virginia?
It's fabulous. You should come see us when you're in West Virginia. Hop on over to Virginia.
You want us to come from Memphis to Virginia?
No, from West.
No, in your West Virginia.
West Virginia,
you're
West
to,
Virginia.
Virginia
to Virginia. Okay.
Yeah, the flowers are gone, but the magnolia is in full bloom.
Oh, how beautiful. How beautiful, darling.
Well, I won't keep you. I just wanted to say hey, and I just wish you a lot of luck, and I hope you have a fabulous summer with all your travels.
Thank
right.
you. A love to your mom
thank
and
you.
To all your family and your sister.
Oh, thank you, and love to you both.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye.
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 Okay, well, so our show is pretty much coming to an end, but I just want to thank you both for coming on the show. It's been such a treat today, and it's been so much fun talking with you, and I've learned so much.
Well, stick with us.
Well, Lori,
oh,
what
certainly.
A kick.
Oh,
may
yeah,
days
well,
of our lives go on and on forever.
Yes.
Well, and I hope Doug and Julie are on the show more often, you know, because people need a couple, you know, that's been in Salem a long time that they can look up to, and I think you guys should inherit that torch, you know?
Yeah.
We're ready.
Well.
Well, I hope so. Well, this is the 45th year. Let's hope we hit 50 and then go on from there.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for being on our show today, and thank you everyone who called in, and it was a pleasure.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Thank you, Lori.